The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's not the sound of a cold beer. That's the sound of this week's sponsor, Dr. Pepper.
I was going to say, we were. It was a real race to fill the glass versus letting the beat ride there.
You can only let the beat ride so long.
for reasons of Dr. Pepper, for sure.
Per reasons of Dr. Pepper. Man, how are we, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself? Besides about to be well refreshed with the smooth taste of Cherry Dr. Pepper.
You're right.
Or is it Dr. Pepper Cherry?
I'm not sure. They're not sponsoring us, by the way. That'd be great.
Yet, if
Dr. Pepper were sponsoring us, I would have a feeling that me and Matt and Tanner would be recording in person. They'd be paying our bills.
Probably.
Dr. Pepper. That'd be so tight. First off, if we could all record in person, and second off, if Dr. Pepper paid our bills, that'd be sweet.
Two great things.
But anyway, guys, this is the run through. We're running through a movie whose sequel, long awaited sequel in many eyes, released this week. And that's The Matrix, guys. But before we get into it, again, I'm Logan. This is Matt with me. If you're joining us and you're a if you're a longtime listener, welcome. The premise is each week on Thursday, we have a bonus episode of the Binge Boys, which is what you're listening to now, entitled The Run Through. And on those episodes, I am joined by a co-host or co-hosts who want to dive in on a different movie or series. And we kind of just give it a throwback review. Most of the movies on the run through are throwbacks, and it gives us a chance to revisit old favorites or watch movies that we had never seen before. A strong majority of the movies on the docket for the run through in 2022 are movies I haven't seen. A lot of movies that I probably should have seen by now, like 50 Shades of Grey, 13 Going on 30. Never seen that one. Catch Me If You Can. Haven't seen that one. A lot of good ones. Signs, Mary Poppins, The Sixth Sense. I haven't seen a lot of these. The Friends with Benefits. And then What a Girl Wants. Why is that on there?
Dude, oh, don't want to get a Bynes join off?
I don't know about that. So that's what we're doing here. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter for the updates and the reviews and the lists and basically the companion to the show. And then again, this week, we're talking about The Matrix. Matt, before we talk about our thoughts on the film,
sure.
It was released March 31st, 1999, directed by Lily and Wana Wachowski.
We'll talk about that, but correct.
Okay. Starring Keanu Reeves as Neo, Lawrence Fishburne as Morpheus, Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith, and many, many more. Synopsis here. Neo believes that Morpheus, an elusive figure considered to be the most dangerous man alive, can answer his question. What is the Matrix? Neo is contacted by Trinity, not contracted.
I was going to say, I missed the 1099 signing in this movie.
Neo's not redoing Morpheus's bathroom. Who is a beautiful stranger who leads him into an underworld where he meets Morpheus. They fight a brutal battle for their lives against vicious, intelligent secret agents. It is a truth that could cost Neo something more precious than his life. Box office wise, the budget for this movie was $63 million in 1999. That's a chunk of change.
You could tell both the CG, or if that's what it was called back then, and the practical effects really, really expensive. And probably to an extent, the cast. I mean, Keanu's not fetching the same price back then that he would now, but I can't remember if he had done Speed by this point, but he at least on Bill and Ted, he's making money, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a household name, hopefully, at least in some households. People knew who he was, or who he is. Opening weekend, the film made $27.8 million. A little return right off the bat, but then word got out, and over time it made $466.4 million, which, again, in 99 is a lot of money.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise. It also doesn't surprise me that this was kind of like a slow burn. It seems like the maybe one person in every office across America would see this and tell everybody, "Dude, they're doing some things over in the Matrix. You got to see it."
Hey, you know that new movie, The Matrix? No, you haven't heard of it either. You should still go see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Critics wise, not sure if you've seen the scores yet, Matt. Do you have you?
No.
What's your thoughts here, critics and audience? Where you landing?
Critics, can I just say like low 80s? Is that specific enough?
Yeah, that's specific enough.
Okay, I'll do critics low 80s, audience high 80s.
Actually, the exact opposite. Oh. Critics land at 88%, which is pretty strong.
Yeah.
Audience lands at 85%.
But that's also pretty strong for audience, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now we can talk general thoughts on the movie. Matt, where does this movie sit with you? Where were you when you saw it for the first time? What's it mean to you? Yada, yada, yada.
So this really didn't, you know, in 99, I was a wee lad of 5, so wasn't quite in the space to be watching these kind of movies in theaters. I was much more on my A Bug's Life shit.
It wasn't in the rotation.
No, not yet. My parents somehow kept this from me, the terrible people they are. So I think I was trying to remember where I lived when I watched it for the first time, but it only would have been as early as between 2017 and 2018 when I watched it for the first time. It was just one of those that, you know, given the high scores for both audience and critics, it like seemed important and one of the last like great movies of the 20th century, and definitely really trend setting for the 21st century in terms of action movies. So I only watched it for the second time getting ready for this one, but even just watching it the one time, like, I think it's a solid like A movie for me.
Okay,
I think it's really solid. We'll definitely get into this, but you can definitely tell in some ways it's a little dated. It, you know, looks like it, and just it's sort of been passed by. It's not as revolutionary as it once was, but you know, I know enough about what movies of that time look like to know how crazy it was, especially for back then. So because you watched it just for the first time for this episode, right? So I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time about a couple weeks back. I think the week of Thanksgiving or maybe the week after. And I'm running through our little movie database here, going to recount what score I gave it. But so I just one of those that I guess like you, I mean, you still watched it pretty recent. It's not like you saw it in the early 2000s. Again, we were wee lads when this movie came out. So naturally so. I mean, even like some of those movies I just mentioned, like a lot of those came out when I was a kid. So naturally I haven't seen them. And this is just a movie it's taken me a while to get to. But alas, I watched it. And you know what? I thought it was just fine. Yeah. I personally do love movies I do like movies that are like Inception, very like mind-bending, kind of like you think you know what the movie's about, but you really don't type thing. I enjoy them. I don't jump up and down about them. You can say what you want, but I'll openly say it. Maybe it's a little too complex for my brain to comprehend. I had to watch several
YouTube videos. Yeah,
I gave it a B minus. I like the movie. It's not a bad movie by any means. I do want to watch the sequels. They're on the list. I am going to give them a shot. As for this new one, we're recording this on Monday the 20th. The movie's out in a few days. As of right now, I don't know if I'm watching the fourth one. I don't know if I need to see the other two first. Do you know anything about it in that regard?
I don't know anything about the fourth one. I know I've seen the second and third ones, and that's how you're talking about feeling like you just don't it just didn't click for you and you don't understand it. That's how I feel about those. There's like, you know, they do a better job of showing and not telling in this movie than they do the others. Like, there's like, it's some brutal, like 10 minute back and forth between Neo and I don't know, some other person who knows everything about the Matrix, and I don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fell with this movie. I mean, it was entertaining. I just barely grasped, you know, what the plot was doing to understand what was happening along the ride of the movie. But I just didn't. I didn't see the worldwide phenomenon that I've heard so much about. Personally, I mean, you said it at the top. There was a lot of expensive stuff in this movie. The CG at the time, I'm sure it was mind-boggling. I'm sure there was some stuff in this movie that people were like, I can't believe they can do that in a movie right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's exactly what Keanu Reeves is. It's one, like, another movie where it feels like he wasn't given more than 10 pages of a script of dialogue. Like,
yeah,
his character has little dialogue, and that's not a bad thing. It's classic Keanu Reeves. I really enjoyed Lawrence Fishburne. His character is Morpheus.
Yes.
not Morbius. Still got Spider-Man on the brain, but
sure.
Enjoyed Hugo Weaving as the villain. I think that was a really strong villainous presence. I did feel threatened every time he was on screen.
He was creepy. I thought that was my biggest takeaway from the rewatch, was just his menacing smile was just A plus for this role.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. He's awesome. Carrie Ann Moss also just kills it.
The perfect 90s hot woman.
The token 90s the hot woman. Yeah, exactly.
Like just hot in the way that, like, you know, dudes in 99 just drooling over.
Oh yeah, like, oh dude, like,
yeah,
check her out. Like, you can hear the guys in the theater going like, oh dude, she's so cute. She's so cute.
You can hear guys running back to their GeoCities page to just absolutely say some really gross things about her.
100%. But we won't do that.
No,
we're not going to do that to her. Matt, a question we'd like to pose on the run through often is, do you think the villain has a point in this movie?
So, I mean, not to, potentially confuse you further after you said you didn't understand it, but it depends on how far out you want to zoom. If you see Agent Smith as the villain and his kind of monologue to Morpheus that humans are like a virus and that him and the rest of the agents and the machines are the cure, then it's kind of like Loki from the Avengers, who wants to just everybody to fall in line and no free will to make for a better society. And I think that that's always something that is a great like point, because there is like sort of a logic to it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But then like zooming out to like all of machines, I mean, it's been brutally torn apart that like human beings are terrible batteries and aren't the end all be all to power source that they say they are in this movie. So I don't think they have much of a point in that regard. So a conditional yes would be my answer to that question.
Yeah, I see your point. It's another, I don't want to say it's stereotypical, but it's definitely a plot of a villain who we've seen. Maybe this was one of the first because we've seen a lot since then. Yeah. But like the villain that thinks that humanity is flawed and, you know, wants to universally reinvent that wheel and put something in humanity's place because humans make mistakes and mistakes are you know, inexcusable, like human, right. Like that age old this discussion. I'm very curious though where you stand on this article that you sent me earlier.
Yeah,
and kind of again to the people listening, if you haven't figured it out yet, Matt understands this movie a lot more than I do. So I want you to kind of talk about this.
Yeah. So like you had said about the directors of it as the Wachowskis. So when the movie was made, it was Larry and Andy Wachowski. However, a year after the movie was released, I know one of them transitioned a year after and I don't want to switch, but they're now Lily and Lena Wachowski are the directors of that movie and the directing tandem. I think only one of them is directing this fourth movie. And so that's been seeing the sort of narrative of life as a transgendered person at that time is sort of a new lens to interpret this movie through. Just, life isn't what you say it is. The line, the sense that something is fundamentally wrong, quote, like a splinter in your mind, has been compared to the experience of those with gender dysmorphia. And then also at the time, the internet being a way for people that had these shared experiences to connect in a way that they hadn't before, just because society wasn't really accepting of those things. That's kind of like specifically what I watched this time with that like interpretation of, and I thought it, held up well. I mean, it's not an experience I know much about, and so I wasn't able to map it one-to-one, but I thought it was interesting. And I think that that's another reason why it like sticks out to my movie, where it completely works on a literal level, but then you're able to like learn a little bit more about the people making it.
Sure.
And you can find a way they inserted themselves into it a little bit. Like even like another way, one of like just the people on the Nebuchadnezzar, they wanted it to be, when they were in the Matrix, to be a woman, but then you go onto the ship and they're a man, but that was removed. What studio reasons, or they thought that just wasn't, it just, on the article, it just says that idea was ultimately dropped. So that's really all you get on it. So,
Yeah.
I thought that was like a clever, I mean, it's art, so it's not clever that someone has had this thought and had this experience and put it into their art. But yeah, I just liked knowing a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I get you. I definitely can see that. That's a really cool angle, and that's a really cool angle to think about the movie now, as it being that transformation piece mm-hmm. for the director. That's actually really cool that she was able was able to make that transformation and almost tell it in a movie.
Right.
That's really cool.
And I mean, you saw it, like an obvious part of it was the Agent Smith would always refer to Keanu as Mr. Anderson when his name, he wanted to go by Neo. It's just like a simple thing like that.
Right. Right. So yeah, that's a really cool angle. I hadn't even thought about it like that. But it's not, then again, it's not in your face. So it would be hard for, unless you're presented now with this article. Like, I had never thought about it until you sent me this. And I was like, oh, wow, that's something. So yeah, that's awesome. In terms of sequels, we'll just briefly talk about it. Matt, we'll play the guessing game again. I think this also has potential to be a fun version of real or fake Rotten Tomatoes scores. Yeah. I think that'd be really fun. I'm going to have to write that down. But in terms of the sequels, The Matrix Reloaded was the sequel. Mm-hmm. Do you want to guess on scores there?
Oof. I'm thinking six. Oh, go for it.
I was going to say, before you say it, it's not as bad as you think.
70s for both? Probably higher for audience than critics.
Very low 70s, but critics gave it a 73 certified fresh.
Okay.
And audience gave it 72. Hmm. So 1 point difference.
Yeah.
And then its third iteration here. I'll let you throw this one out there.
Critics 50s, audience 60s, or is it still riding the same like 70s wave?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Audience score for this one, 60%. So you're pretty much on the nose there. Critics wise, this is a rotten 35%er. Critics did not love this movie.
That's rough.
That's tough. This new one, there's not many reviews out there for it yet. So they don't have scores, but more on that whenever we 20 years from now, when we do a run through on The Matrix 4.
There we go. Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how, because I have heard from, I follow a few people on Twitter that see movies early and they said that it's strong in some pieces, but you know, weak in some, but that, that was a very, they said it's kind of like Spider-Man, not so much that like, oh, there's very little we can talk about, but another movie that's kind of spoiler filled. Like they can't really review it openly without the embargo being lifted, but it comes out oddly on a Wednesday, which I find kind of odd.
Yeah. I can't remember if it's just HBO or also in theaters as well, but I feel like that might affect it.
I think it's both because originally I thought it was only theaters and I thought, like, especially because I'm just meh on the movie, I was like, I might skip this one.
Yeah.
But then someone was like, oh, you know what's on HBO Max? And I was like, I might catch it then. I might catch it. I'll see. But I don't want to watch it without seeing the sequels and then butcher it for being confusing with me not having seen the sequels.
I mean, the sequels are terribly confusing, so I feel like it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Okay. So then that solves that. Matt, do you want to hear some trivia on The Matrix?
If that trivia includes potential castings, I know that's common on it. I am ready to talk about that.
Yeah. We will see what trivia has to offer here. First off, some of the taglines on the posters and trailers for this are, in a world of ones and zeros, are you a zero or the one?
That's really bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Another one are all of the ones, all of the headlines that you would think. Free your mind. Be afraid of the future. The fight for the future begins. Remember, there is no spoon.
That's a good one.
Which is just great. Because it makes zero sense if you've never seen this movie.
Exactly. It's way better. It's not generic like the others. Yeah.
And I am very thankful that I finally now understand that quote.
Yeah.
Because people many a times in my life have made spoon jokes and that's often the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand it and I'm very thankful for that.
That was a very good scene when he learns it from the little kid, but also when he puts it into action when they're getting Morpheus back. It's like, there is no spoon. I'm not going to die when I blow up this building.
Yep, that's it. There's a lot of really cool trivia here. So I'm going to dive in. The opening scene took 6 months of training and 4 days to shoot alone. Second up. to prepare for the scene where Neo wakes up in a pod, Keanu Reeves lost 15 pounds and shaved his entire body to give Neo an emancipated look.
I mean, succeeded. Could I add on to that some trivia about that scene? Not like trivia, but like what people have like thought about that scene.
Yeah.
They've seen that as a virgin birth to sort of go along with the Christ allegory of Neo as well.
I've heard that. I have heard that. I saw that on Twitter. says Carrie Ann Moss twisted her ankle while shooting one of her scenes. However, she did not tell anybody about it until after filming because she did not want it to be recast.
Dang. Well, I mean, there was a lot of competition for a lot of these roles. It was a big budget movie, so you want that.
Yeah, absolutely. This movie won all four of the categories it was nominated for at the Academy Awards that year.
Does it say what they were?
This at the time, it doesn't, but it does say this at the time was the largest clean sweep of nominated categories, but it was not nominated for Best Picture.
I've got the four of them.
Yeah, what are they?
Best Film Editing, Best Sound Effects, and Best Visual Effects. So all technical awards, which is interesting.
Yeah, I thought they maybe would have thrown in maybe a costume design.
Something. I mean, yeah, the look of it is... I mean, I guess it was the 90s version of what the future is going to look like, but I still think that that's kind of like... like I said, that that's like an inspiration that I think... this movie can be pointed to as like a trendsetter. So
interesting. Let's see here. Let's see, Keanu. Some of those at the top were really good, but
do you want me to?
Yeah, please. If you've got some good ones, please throw them in.
So, do you want to hear some of the people who could have played Neo instead?
Please.
What would your thoughts be if Will Smith was the one?
You know what? I knew that because of Will Smith was just in King Richard, mm-hmm. and he was doing press somewhere, and he said like, oh, I turned down The Matrix.
To do what movie, though?
Oh, was it? Oh, man.
Think Bad.
Bad.
Wild Wild West.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And also, he was skeptical about the film's ambitious bullet time special effects.
Wow.
So, bad take from a Big Willie style there.
Wow.
Nick Cage turned down the part because of family obligations. That's all this article says. Brad Pitt and Val Kilmer both declined. Leo initially accepted, but ultimately turned it down because he did not want to do a visual effects film directly after Titanic. And then...
ooh, I got almost casts too.
Sure. And then Keanu won the role over Johnny Depp.
Wow.
So it
could have been a much different movie
with any of those guys.
They all have their own vibe and style.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been way different.
Yeah.
I've got a couple for Morpheus.
Yep.
Gary Oldman, which is just interesting, yeah. as well as Sam Jackson,
mm-hmm.
which I'm glad it was Lawrence Fishburne because I think, unfortunately, Sam Jackson carries this like, cheesiness to him. He's a great actor,
right?
Don't get me wrong, but like, you know what I'm saying, like Sam Jackson pops up and you're like, oh, it's Sam Jackson.
Yeah, and it's hard to know if that's just what the modern like weight of him is, and if
true
he had that at the time.
True. It says here that Sean Connery was offered the role of the architect in the sequels,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
That's the scene. That's like 10 minutes of just straight exposition. So you have that to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. 39 people get murked in this movie. That's the body count. Ooh, this is another good one to stack on top of yours. Ewan McGregor turned down the role as Neo because he was filming Star Wars Episode One. Both films competed against each other for best effects. However, The Matrix won the award.
Yep.
That's awesome. Carrie Ann Moss was a cast member of the short-lived television show called Matrix in 1993.
Not The Matrix?
Nope, just Matrix.
They dropped the. It's cleaner. They branded as Sean Parker.
The lobby shootout scene took 10 days to film.
Dude, there was just stuff flying everywhere. I can see that. Probably get to shoot it once, then spend like 20 hours resetting it.
Wow. And then lastly, another almost cast, Russell Crowe turned down the role of Morpheus. He said, quote, "I just don't get it. I couldn't get past page 42. That world was just not interesting to me." So it's not maybe that not that he didn't understand it, but more of like, this is dumb. Like, I don't get, like, where's the hype here?
What's the draw? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the draw?
Can I talk some other castings? Janet Jackson was initially approached for the role of Trinity.
Okay.
As was Salma Hayek and Jada Pinkett Smith. So they could have gotten together earlier had the cards done differently. But Jada had a role in later movies. She was Niobe.
Yep. Yeah, the really cool almost casts. So here's another fun thing. Just a question that I have for you in general. How did they film these movies back to back to back?
I think pretty recent, like pretty close. Cause I think the last one came out in 2003. And if we're talking about like how long these shoots took, like, I feel like they almost had to.
The only reason I ask is because the original came out in 99. The sequel came out in 2003. And at the end of the year, the third one came out.
Yeah, so maybe they had enough money to, you know, get the first one done, and then it became this hit that we all know. Then they were like, all right, we just got to get all of these, get them all done.
You could compare it to Avatar. However, the difference is that we got sequels to that movie
less than
15 years after the original.
Yeah. Gosh,
Jesus. You got to think that the hype is going to die by the time those movies drop.
Yeah.
Do you see this movie, Matt, as being a movie that gets remade?
I don't know.
Or do you see it as a movie like probably like the Jurassic Park / Transformers franchises where they're just going to keep making iterations of it?
That's what I was going to say. Because I think something that's referenced in later movies, like I think the current, when we, you know, meet Neo and stuff, that this is like the seventh or eighth version of the Matrix, and that, you know, there's like a cycle of, you know, the people winning back versus the machines or whatever. So if it's going to be that kind of cyclical thing, you can just reboot it and put it, you know, 100 years in the future or back in the first Matrix or something like that. So I don't really see a point, like there's, especially now when we're in the era of cinematic universes, there's not a point to rebooting this when you don't have to erase any of the work that's been done, you know?
Have you heard the theory about John Wick being Neo in another universe?
No, but I mean, it fits.
Yeah, I mean, if the shoe fits, and in this situation, it fits.
If the trench coat fits, yeah.
True. Was there anything that stuck out to you as particularly aging poorly or really well? I mean, I think Keanu Reeves speaks for himself, and Lawrence Fishburne, and just the cast in general, Carrie Ann Moss, Hugo Weaving. I think they all do great.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't particularly hear any dialogue that was spotty or especially now knowing that the director was kind of under a transformation, you think they would have been, I don't want to use the word woke, but like
sensitive,
yeah. Right.
Not dropping like, you know, the F word we don't say anymore. The middle school F word. We can
very good clarification.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think anything like plot-wise aged poorly. I think and only one special effect I think looked especially kind of hokey when Neo like dives into the agent and kind of like blows him up. It's kind of a weird combination of like the, you know, computer green and like flesh that's just kind of weird looking. But other than that, I thought a lot of it was really kind of like done in the design sensibility kind of made up for the lack of technology that they had. But I'm curious what your thoughts are, just since, you know, you're coming at it from a different angle.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think everything stood up pretty well. The CGI, again, like you said, like nothing really stood out to me as being horrible, but I was real worried about the scene, you know, the classic Matrix scene where he's dodging the bullets.
Yeah.
You know, even that looked okay. Like, I didn't think it looked horrible at all. There was a few moments where I was like, this was filmed in the 90s, but nothing that really overly, except for maybe that one scene that you said, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to nitpick it for that. It was the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And also just like watching this, like, I didn't, even though I had seen it before, I didn't realize how many times I had seen this movie parodied.
Oh,
like you've seen every shot from this movie made, not like made fun of, but like parodied in, you know, cartoons or whatever.
Sure. That's perfect. And either spoof movies, cartoons, just SNL, pop culture, just the film world likes to make fun of this movie. But I think especially for the fact that it came out in 99, like with the whole Y2K thing, like yeah. There's not a more perfect time this movie could have come out unless it was like December of 1999. Like if this would have come out December of 99, I feel like the world would have imploded.
Right. Yeah.
I have to ask you, Matt.
Sure.
Would you have taken the red pill or the blue pill?
I don't know, man.
I don't even know the difference between the two, if I'm being honest.
So basically the red pill is like you follow, that's what Neo took. So it basically helps you like wake up from the simulation and live like quote unquote your real life. The blue pill, you just like stay sedated under the thing. And honestly, my life in the simulation, if this is what we're currently living in, is difficult enough. I'll take the blue pill. I don't need to fly or do kung fu or any of that. I'm fine with my abilities.
If you Google what is the blue pill, Google tells you the blue pill is the nickname given to the erectile dysfunction treatment Viagra. Due to its appearance, Viagra is mostly used for erectile dysfunction treatments.
Yeah.
So shout out to however, the image that Google provides is the red and blue pill, but Google's just trying to hit you with that, with those Viagra facts.
Yeah, I would just Google on the flip. Be careful when you Google the flip side, the red pill, since that's been co-opted by some unsavory characters who think that they know a lot more about how the world works than I would assume that they do.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. There's a lot of cults that follow that red pill.
Yeah, maybe stay away from r/the red pill.
I agree with you. I think I'd just stick with the blue pill, man. I if this is how my life is in the simulation, I'm willing to, you know, it's fine. Yeah. Life's pretty okay.
I saw the Nebuchadnezzar. I didn't see any aux port. I didn't see any Bluetooth. They're not listening to pods there. They're just like eating their goop. Like maybe that. I mean, that's another angle on the, does the villain have a point? Cypher, like the betrayer, he just wanted to kind of live large within the simulation, and he was willing to sell his friends out, which, you know, not for that, but, you know, I get it.
I get his point.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not, you know, buying into it, but I'm listening. I'm sitting through the meeting.
I'll hear him out.
Yeah,
I'll hear
him out.
I don't know. Did we cover the Matrix pretty okay? Is there more that you would say about it?
I don't know, man. It's also just one of those things I feel like I really dig, but I can't put my finger on why, and the reasons I can are just kind of like, I just got the feeling watching it that like it was important for the time. And I know that because before I saw the movie, I'd seen 100,000 parodies of it before I saw the actual thing. And then you see the actual thing and it held up. So that's, you know, shows that it really struck a nerve with the culture for a good reason.
Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely one of those that I don't know why it took me as long as it did to see it, but I'm glad I finally did. A, for the references, and B, just because it's widely considered one of the most innovative films of its time.
Yeah.
Or just of all time, I guess. But I mean, I didn't hate it. It was just a little hard for me to follow, but I'm definitely open to watching the sequels. And then who knows, maybe I'll dive into the fourth one. Maybe I'll miss it. You know, who knows? Do you think you're going to get out to see the new, or at least watch it on HBO?
Yeah, I'll probably try and catch it at home. I feel like
especially with the holidays.
Yeah, with the holidays, I'll be with my family, and I'm pretty sure my girlfriend and I are the only ones that had seen it. So it's like, hey, mom and dad, we're gonna, you know, come to your house for Christmas, but then we're gonna leave for 4 hours to go watch The Matrix.
Exactly.
Probably, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. Hopefully, the new one holds up and does the original justice. But hopefully, if you haven't seen The Matrix, it's available on HBO Max to check out. All of them are on HBO Max. And then Matrix Revolutions. I think that's it. No, Resurrections.
Resurrections. Because Revolution is...
That's the third one, ain't it?
Third one, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible, like very generic sequel names.
Oh, yeah. Just R names that just... Resurrections, definitely, because they're resurrecting the franchise.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when we ran through the Halloween sequel names the other day.
Like, real or fake Halloween sequel names.
Yeah, exactly. The other day, and it was also like 2 months ago, so I'm just stuck in a time warp.
Hey, that's okay. Yep. That's okay. Matt, thanks for joining me on Running Through the Matrix.
Logan, thank you for having me on to talk about a movie that I very much enjoy.
Very good. Guys, you heard it here first, The Matrix. Check it out on the streaming services. Check out the new one in the theaters. They're not paying us to say that. Just encouraging people to, if you feel comfortable, go back to the theaters. Support the filmmakers. Support the cast and crew. If you feel comfortable with it. If not, your support is just as appreciated if you're watching it on HBO. I mean, they love you, you know, either way. But we love you too for listening. And Matt, this is the last time we'll record, but have a Merry Christmas, you and your family.
Thanks, Logan. Yeah, you too, man. Enjoy the fam time and any familial binging y'all get done.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see everybody next week for regular run of the mill episode, and then we'll close out the year, me and Tanner, with Christmas Vacation before New Year's Eve. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Good stuff.
Are we still recording?
It is.
Little teaser.
Jeez, end already. What the? Well, doesn't want to end.